Welcome back to St. Patty's Day. Jake Chapman here with you, 92.3 The Fan. Jake Burns going to join me in just a second. Real quick, Emmony Bates. Emmony Bates, remember the name. Guy won Mr. Michigan for basketball. He's 15 years old. He's a freshman. He just led his team. Ypsilanti Lincoln is his high school, to the Division I state championship in the state of Michigan. And he's 6'8", and he's 15 years old. This dude is coming. And so congrats to him. Emmony Bates, 6'8", basketball prospect who will probably be approached by all the prep schools, all the Oak Hills throughout the country. But
he's short.
He's 6'8". Oh, yeah, okay. No, dude, and he's long. And he's 15, and he's smooth, and yeah, he's coming. He's going to add some beef to that frame, dude's very impressive. All right, we head, of course, as we always do, to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, Browns Film Breakdown, Cleveland.com, friend of James Rapine's, friend of mine, Jake Burns joins me now to talk a little Browns. Jake, how are you?
Great, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. Thanks for taking a couple minutes, of course. I know you have been just churning out all sorts of content. You do such a phenomenal job. It's Jake_Burns18 on Twitter. Just give me kind of your first reaction, and then as you started to dive in, break down the film, and think about how Odell Beckham Jr. fits into the Browns offense. Well, he fits into any offense. He's Odell Beckham Jr. What excites you the most about the Browns making this acquisition, James? Jake?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it's easy to forget just how good he is. Like, you know, you see the highlight film, you see play, you know, you watch the Browns Sunday and then you'll see some highlights here and there, and you know, you appreciate him, but you don't really appreciate what he can do until you actually watch every single play. So I spent I spent a good amount of time breaking down his stuff, and you know, he can do everything inside, outside. He can play in the slot, he can play outside, he can win routes all over the field, and that's really a big difference. You know, some guys are one trick ponies. They can do it down the field. You know, they can take a top off the defense like Rashad Perriman did, but they're maybe not so good at the nuanced parts of the route, stuff underneath. So he can do it all. I mean, sharp cuts, the ability to make catches outside of his frame, those sorts of things that are so rare to see a guy who can do it all in one, you know, just one total package. And, you know, it's just, it's exciting to see the Browns be able to pull this person, because it changes the outlook of an offense. It changes what they want to do. It changes what they're able to do at all levels, because he attracts so much attention, and just a true game changer in every sense of the word, because I think he's every bit as good, if not the best wide receiver in the game.
Yeah, whether it's, we're talking to Jake Burns, whether it's Ted Nguyen, who does an outstanding job, Warren Sharp, a lot of people have talked about the slant route specifically, Jake, just the idea of Baker hitting Odell Beckham in stride, which is something that Odell Beckham has not dealt with necessarily over the last couple seasons, and the home run ability. Is that kind of the most exciting sort of smaller aspect of this, is a guy who can turn a 4 yard, 5 yard slant into a 65 yard to the house touchdown? I mean, that's what he is, right?
Yeah. So his ability to take, I mean, I think I saw that the stat was like 50% of his targets last year were off target, so it was rare for him to have many targets that were in line with where he was going. So, and Baker, I think from week 9 on, led the NFL in that category in terms of, not led, but he was fourth behind Brady, Mahomes, and Breeze, just in terms of putting the ball on somebody's frame and in target. So he's going to be catching a lot of slants, and like I said, he does it from the inside or the outside. He defeats coverage so fast with his quick feet that he creates that easy separation. So in an ideal world, you have Antonio Callaway taking the top off of a defense, you know, and then that opens up that wiggle room for those long over routes that I tried to break down a couple in that recent piece on Cleveland.com. Mm-hmm. The long over routes, or the underneath crosser routes where he draws so much attention, get him the ball in space, let him create that yards after catch ability that he has, or, you know, like I said, create for other people and open up those windows for Landry or Njoku or, you know, Higgins as well.
Yeah, that's where I wanted to go, just sort of the ripple effect and the rest of the offense. Is, I mean, Jarvis, you know, I guess lining up in the slot, you would think is a more appropriate place for him, and just sort of settling into his role. How does it affect everybody else having Odell Beckham Jr. on board?
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to create one-on-one coverage all over the field. Yeah. I think I tweeted yesterday it's going to be tough for the Browns to balance using five weapons at a time. So 11 personnel would be that ideal situation where you have three receivers You know, obviously Jarvis in there in some capacity, and then a rotation between Higgins and Callaway.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Njoku, and then you have Nick Chubb or Kareem Hunt when he's back, whatever. That 11 personnel allows you to really stretch defenses, attack light boxes in the run game, meaning guys inside the tackle box, fewer players to take advantage of the run game. And if you look at where the Rams found a lot of success, they sat in 11 personnel. So
right.
that is where the Browns should try to aim to sit. Now, how they're going to help their tackles in this situation, the hope will be with the Browns that they can keep defenses so off balance, they can avoid that, you know, that quick upfield edge rush stuff. But if they can keep that stuff in check and they get good performance from Greg Robinson and Chris Hubbard or Kendall Lamb, who they brought in, if he wins out a job, the Browns are in 11 personnel. They can sit there. It's going to be one-on-one matchups all over the field, and sometimes for Odell Beckham, too, because you got to balance that there's so many weapons that can be taken advantage of on one single play.
How does that change? And you sort of tied that in with what Monken likes to do and just the idea of running out of that 11 personnel. And I think what you tweeted yesterday, Jake, was specifically it puts the onus on the tackles. You have to have tackles, you know, winning their matchups and not letting guys get home. And they're probably going to be one-on-one matchups because they don't get any help. So how does that change? I mean, what can you do moving forward? Does it change maybe your approach in terms of free agency or the draft as far as maybe getting a blocking tight end in? Do you just sort of need to rely on Hubbard and Robinson to get the job done? How can they preempt some of those problems that you might have if the tackles aren't delivering?
Yeah, so they're going to have to look at mitigating risk again. I imagine they'll go into the season looking to put those tackles in situations where they're on isolated sets. The Browns did a lot of stuff last year with play action where they would pull a backside guard and kick out that tackle as
right.
a sort of, you know, play action scheme to help them put some of their best blockers on the edge. I don't know how they'll feel about doing that so much with Austin Corbett as they did with Kevin Zeitler. So we're just going to have to see. I think there's obviously ways you can help. You can chip with a tight end before he gets out on a route, and you can keep a back in the backfield and obviously help him help out on a tackle here or there as well. So there are ways to do it, but if you really want to get to that point that you're really dangerous, such as, I keep going back to the Rams, but, you know, putting Todd Gurley out in seam routes or flat routes or wheel routes, whatever that stuff is, or getting Njoku out in different alignments too, you don't want to have them helping your tackles all the time. So I think the idea that the Browns target somebody at the tackle position early isn't as crazy as a lot of people think it is. John Dorsey could love one, you know, possibly move back up into the first round and take somebody if he really likes one. We're just going to have to see. There's ways to help them, but this offense, if it's going to unleash its true potential, they'll be able to trust their offensive tackles in an island to make those, you know, key blocks and allow Baker to work, manipulate that pocket so they can do that early down play action that Tom Monken loves to keep defenses on their heels. But then also, you know, take advantage of the run game too. When you get light boxes against teams expecting throwing situations, you have to be able to do that as well.
Jake Burns with me, Browns Film Breakdown and Cleveland.com. Jake_Burns18 on Twitter. Tell me about the other acquisitions. I guess let's start with Sheldon Richardson and Olivier Vernon. I know you reacted last week with James to the acquisition of Olivier Vernon, but how do those guys fit in? And when you break down the idea of replacing Austin Corbett with Kevin Zeitler or vice versa, well worth the deal to bring in Olivier Vernon, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think that what they viewed as the pass rushing market, there wasn't a ton of guys who could be three down defensive ends, and they thought Olivier could do that. Olivier had his best career, some of his best time in his career with, you know, opposite great pass rushers, Cam Wake in Miami, opposite Jason Pierre-Paul when he was with New York as well. He's a really good Robin to a Batman situation. Obviously, the Browns have a Batman situation here with Myles Garrett. I think he does a great job holding down that weak side edge in run game. He'll do a really good job for them in those situations. And, you know, long arm, long frame, can get after the quarterback with bend, can get after the quarterback with that long arm, drive the quarterback into the backfield situation. But he's athletic enough to use some spin moves and different stuff too, so he'll be able to do that. I think it will be extremely interesting how they deploy him. He's a right side rusher, the same as Myles Garrett, so we're going to have to figure out who they put on the opposite side. But it's a good problem to have. Myles Garrett had, like, I think 50 snaps on the opposite side, and he did fairly well, so it'll be interesting to see how they handle that. Sheldon Richardson, long arm player, really good interior rusher, quick twitch. I think the Browns will like him at the three technique opposite Ogunjobi. Very good, you know, using leverage, creating quick pass rush that then unlocks other players one-on-one. If the Browns are going to be at their best, teams are going to have to figure out how they how they block them without double teaming, because there are four pass rushing threats. If you cut down Larry Ogunjobi's total reps, he's one of the best out there in terms of creating pass rush pressure one-on-one, and he's only going to get better. He's driven, he's hungry to do so. So those four guys along the line, all long-arm guys, all guys who can get after the passer, and that's what John Dorsey really wants.
Jake, do you like the idea of moving Myles Garrett around, or, you know, whether it's the opposite side of the line, whether it's sliding him down and just deploying him in different ways, maybe even with his hand up and dropping him back in like a zone blitz type situation? How do you best accentuate, or how do you maximize what you're getting out of Myles Garrett? Is it putting him in the same spot over and over again, or do you like moving him around?
Well, I think you can. I think you have to be careful with it. You want to put him in advantageous pass rush situations,
right?
That give him chances to beat guards, because he can abuse guards. Like, you put him on twist stunts or line him inside, he can really, really defeat guards with speed, and he can be effective. Greg Williams dropped him into coverage quite frequently. I think that was due to trying to get him a break because he played so many snaps and avoid going downhill at 100%, maybe just dropping, and he is not comfortable doing it. So I don't envision Steve Wilks would want him doing that. They'll use a rotation more up front, but I have no problem with moving him around. You want him to be his most comfortable, but you also want to put linemen in unpredictable situations. Imagine you're a right guard and six or seven times Myles Garrett's in your gap, and you really got to adjust your game plan.
Sure.
So, it would be wise to move him around, but you also want to have his opinion on it too. How comfortable are you moving? Where are you most comfortable? Because we want you on Sundays to pin your ears back and become that gifted player we know you are.
As you spin it forward, you look at the draft and free agency and more potential moves. Steve Wilks' role in kind of remaking the defense is really interesting to me. I certainly don't think they're done with the secondary, and I definitely don't think they're done with the linebacking crew. How do you look at what Steve Wilks wants to do with the defense and how that might sort of shape the way the Browns address the rest of their needs in free agency in the draft?
Yeah, very aggressive player. Aggressive coach. He will blitz. It won't feel all too different from that regard. But they won't play that passive secondary approach where the bend but don't break style that I thought Greg Williams employed, where he would try to have you sort of take the easiest route. But it's hard to explain how Greg Williams went about it. He would allow you to have easy answers, but if you didn't take advantage of those easy answers, he would create problems for your offense. Wilks is aggressive at all 11 positions, so
right.
I do expect the Browns to blitz like crazy. I expect them to be hyper-aggressive in terms of coverage. They'll need another corner. Somebody like Justin Lane in the draft makes a lot of sense for them. I think that they will certainly attack that. They need a safety, a box safety. Trey Boston can make sense. He's more free safety than box safety, but he does both. He's good in space. Clay Gathers out of India is another good option that's out there. Or Glover Quinn, formerly with Detroit, is another good option that's out there. But they could use one. I certainly think they could use another linebacker to push Christian Kirksey. Maybe like Zach Brown got let go from Washington. Good guy to keep an eye on there, too. So those are position options that are out there that they can certainly take advantage of. They're going to need a little bit more athleticism in that second half, though.
Last question, Jake. We talked about Duke Johnson for about an hour there in the middle of the show. Does the Kareem Hunt suspension change anything as far as your opinion of Duke Johnson's value on the team? Do you expect him to be dealt? And if he is dealt for like a fifth-round pick, is it going to be the end of the world?
No, I don't. I don't think he's going to have that big of an impact on the offense this year. His role wasn't quite as big as we thought it would be, especially week 9 on. He had that game against Kansas City where he had about 8 catches, 70 yards, and everybody thought Freddie would use him like crazy in the second half. It didn't come to fruition. They don't trust him there for some reason. I'm not sure if his personality doesn't mesh well with Freddie. I'm not saying that, but it's just kind of reading the tea leaves. I think they viewed Kareem Hunt as that ideal second option. Have to think that they knew that an 8-game-ish suspension was coming on the short side there for sure. So I don't think if the Browns do move him for something, they can get that contract off the books. You don't want to be paying your third running back, top 15 running back money. So it would make sense in a tight cap situation to make that kind of move. And, it would just make sense all around. I think the Browns have done a really good job of sort of mitigating risk at that running back position. They have guys who can, they have guys who can do it all. So I think Duke's a good fit, obviously, in a situation where you don't have a ton of weapons. But in this situation with the Browns, it's going to make more sense probably for them to, it's going to make more sense for them to move on from that contract and then have Kareem Hunt there week 8. Just get by with Nick Chubb early in the season, maybe Dontrell Hilliard there to spell him when he can.
Thanks, Jake, for the time. Go be a father now.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, he's in the background hollering.
All right, brother. There he is, Jake Burns. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, at Jake_Burns18. Phenomenal job for Cleveland.com, Browns Film Breakdown as well. And, of course, he joined us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.